from verse 5 of chapter 17, and we're going to read until we get to about verse 8, 8-ish. Let's go ahead, and if you're there, say, oh yeah. All right, I think that's most everybody. So Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, it starts off in my Bible, and it reads like this. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Ooh, man. Let me read a different translation of that real quick. Here's verse 5, but in a different translation it says, this is what the Lord says, "Cursed is the person who trusts just in humans, who makes flesh and blood his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." If I read on in verse 6, it says, "He's going to be like a bush in the desert, and he will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in a stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant." Verse 7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord." Isn't that neat the way it says that? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Verse 8, "For he will be like a tree," what? "Planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." We've got to read verse 8 again. "For he will be," who? "The man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord." What's he going to be like? He's going to be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear. Praise God for that. Amen. "He will not fear when the heat comes, but his leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought." Praise God. "Nor will he cease to yield fruit." Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen? What a good verse. You need to mark that in your Bible, man of God, and you need to go back to that many, many times to encourage you. Let's pray this morning. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We come to you and we ask for your Holy Spirit to move on our hearts. Move on my heart today. Use me as a mouthpiece to speak your words, the words that come straight from your heart. Father God, plant those words in our hearts and let them yield a great fruit today. Let our lives be transformed. Let us be changed by what it is that you speak to us today. Let us be encouraged and strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm in a series today, and we're kind of in, what is it, series? This is like the fifth week that I've talked about it, fourth week that I've talked about blessing. And as we wrap this up, I'm not going to be here next week speaking, but it's going to be Brother Bill. He's going to be here speaking, and I'm going to be with my wife and kids, and we're visiting family. We have a family reunion in California. We'll be there, and so I'm wrapping up blessing, and as I wrap it up, I was just kind of searching for how do we need to put a cap on all of this? How can we learn the most important things and take away what is most important from blessing? And I came to this word, manifest blessing. And I thought about what does it look like for someone to have blessing in their life? Because at the end of all of these messages, it's like what I've shared up till now in these messages. I want your soul to be blessed and prosper, but not just your soul. I want your life to feel the effects of God. It's not good enough for me as your pastor or your friend to just have you know what is good and feel peace in your mind because of knowing the truth. I want the truth of God to set you free in every single area of your life, and I want you to feel that joy and that blessing regardless of your circumstances. So it's not tied to drought. It's not tied to abundance. You feel a joy and a peace that is the common denominator in every season of life, that it will never be shaken. It's like you will stand out and look different because you are blessed. So I come to this word manifest. Manifest blessing. And when I see that word in Scripture, I ask myself, what does manifest mean? And it simply means what is obvious, what is seen with the eye. What am I talking about? What is obvious? What is actually seen with the eye? We see this in the Old Testament when they're talking about the presence of the Lord. So in the Old Testament, specifically in the time of Moses' tabernacle, we see the manifest presence of God. And that's where this word begins to take shape, where it says, in that Moses tabernacle, there was a visible, obvious to the eye, something you could see that represented the presence of the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting? Does anybody remember what that was? That was called the Shekinah glory of God. That visible presence of God. If you were in the holy place, you could see a cloud of glory there. If you were outside of the temple, so if you were just part of the crowd that was in the tents around Moses' tabernacle, what you would see is if it was during the day, you would see a massive pillar of cloud that would even provide shelter so that while they were escaping Egypt and going to the promised land, it would shelter them and provide shade and comfort for them. Isn't that amazing? That was a visible manifestation of God's presence. How you've ever longed for stuff like that in your life? Have you ever longed to say, oh God, just show me something that proves you're with me or that you're here in this moment. Even if it's just, oh, speak to me, God, right now. Let me hear an audible voice. Some of those cries come from our heart as just a man of God or a woman of God where you're eager to just know that God is there and with you. Well, in that Old Testament time, they had the manifest presence of God. Now, in the nighttime, what did they see? It wasn't the cloud. It was a pillar of fire. Ha! I love it. That pillar of fire by night that lit up that entire desert. Can you imagine? That is the biggest bonfire in the world. I would have loved to have seen that bonfire. I've heard tell that some men in our church have been known to light big fires. Right, Mike? But you know what? That is a massive bonfire, and I would have loved to have seen that manifestation of God's presence. And if you looked at just that wonderful symbolism, as you move into the New Testament, there were times of manifest presence of God where people could see God's presence represented. On the day of Pentecost, pillars of fire came down and individually split off and then resided over the apostles and those that were gathered there in that upper room. It split and it rested over their heads as a physical sign. You could see it with your eyeballs that God's Holy Spirit was filling them and fulfilling Joel chapter 2, verses 28, that scripture that came out this morning that we were talking about. These were manifestations of God's presence. But not just that. Throughout that New Testament, there were all kinds of manifestations of God's presence in God's people's lives. Where two or more people were gathered together in God's name, it's like his visible authority showed up. And what they declared as God, they were in agreement with scripture. Nothing could stand in contrary to that. Nothing could stand against it. That is amazing. It's almost with legal force. So that's why when God showed up, there was a physical representation. Healings happened. Peace fell on the crowd and you could see the crowd act differently. That's amazing. When God's presence filled crowds in the New Testament, the whole tone, the attitude would change in groups. That to me is so profound and I've witnessed it in my own times. You guys just witnessed it probably at camp, right? You get into a camp environment, you get all these crazy teenagers with hormones that are just going bananas and berserks, and I just think their brains aren't working completely all together. And so they just are eager for anything. They're just eager to have fun and run around and act crazy. And then you put them in God's presence, anything goes. It really does. And so there's music pumping and there's everybody saying, I love God, this is awesome. And before you know it, it's almost like everyone seeking God's face, he just responds and he shows up. And the visible present, the thing that you would notice is you got kids that would never cry are suddenly crying. And if you ask him, hey, why are you crying? You're a boy. You're 14 years old. 14-year-old boys don't cry. And they're like, I don't know, man. It's just my heart. Did you just say the word heart? You're a 14-year-old boy. Boys don't have hearts. Stop that. What are you doing? You play sports. You beat other people up. You make fun of kids. That's what you do. No, I'm crying right now, man. I don't know why. That's the visible manifestation of God that you could see the effects on their life. Those are just the simple things. But I look at us in this room. And the reason I'm so excited to talk about blessing is because I want you to have that visible, obvious distinguisher. When people look at your life, they should see a lengthy shadow that says, I see God's handprint on your life. Everything you do, I see God in your life. Everything you say, it's almost any place you go, there is something different about you. And they see it. That is the blessing of God made representing the actual body of Christ. People see it. That's powerful. I want that. I want that in my kids' life. When my girl gets old and she goes away to college in next year, when Chloe goes away to college, when whatever your name is goes away to college, and then another fourth one, number four. The first two I've known them the longest, so their names come right to me. You know, it's a number three and number four. Look at her today. It's like, Dad, that's it. And when these kids leave my house and go take over the world, I want everyone that knows them to be impacted by not just them, but by the presence of the Lord in their life. I want people to see God when they see them. I want them to be their friends, not because they just have the biggest and the coolest toys and stuff like that. I want them to want to be their friend because there's something different about them. There's a peace that just never seems to go away. There's a joy that they don't even understand or why it's even there. And there's something else about them. They just seem to bring encouragement everywhere they go. See, these are the qualities that when you see them on someone else, it makes them stand out like a spotlight's on them. I believe that's God's intentions and his plan for every single believer. Every single believer should have a bright light shining on them because you are meant to be a blessing to the entire world. You are the manifest body of Christ. You're the blessing that's in this earth right now. That's so powerful. And so this message today really is me trying to say, how do we put a cap on this message of blessing so that the one thing you and I remember at the end of this is we need to be marked by blessing. That's the one thing that sets us apart. Amen. Let me point out a couple silly things. We may not always see the blessing in a particular situation, and that's okay. Because you know what I actually think of a lot of times when I talk about this stuff is I get all excited and I get hyped up, and then I go, but yeah, tomorrow might be the day that I realize that something bad happens. And then when I listen to the podcast, the message, I go, yeah, whatever, blessing, blah blah blah, blessing. Today it stinks. You know, the world just fell apart. Well, the reason I have to say this is because don't be so blind to the reality we live in. The truth of this supersedes and goes way beyond a momentary circumstance. Tomorrow you might have the worst news ever delivered to you, but the truth still remains the same. Your emotions still have a solid bedrock to be sat upon. And so if you can't see the blessing that I'm talking about today, it's usually because, well, there's something clouding your eyes and you're not seeing it. I need to say it in a different way. Sometimes we're not aware of the blessing. I'll tell you, for me, the reason I'm often not aware of the blessing is because I'm too consumed with myself. A lot of times, that's what it is. There's other reasons, but a lot of times, the reason I'm so consumed with myself and then I can't see anything else, it's like I'm so self-centered. There's too much pride. Have you ever met anybody? I mean, it's probably not you, but it's probably someone else that is so self-centered. Every party, they have to be at the center of it. Every conversation, they have to dominate it. It just seems like everything is always about them. I love those people. I love that. When Brianne was really little, this is hilarious. She's not like that. But when she was really little, she might have been like that. She was just a little toddler, barely able to really dominate a room. And we had this massive party at our house. There were people all over the place. And she was not satisfied with the attention she was getting. And when we raised our kids, we were absentee parents at parties. We were partying and we just let them wander around everywhere because everybody was a safe person. So we just had no idea where they were at. So we were there and we were having a great time and all these church folks were there and we were talking. And this girl, this little toddler, crawled into the big room right in the midst of all these people, stood right there and nobody looked at her. Nobody was like giving her attention. So what did she do? She bellowed really loud and everybody looks at her, to which she didn't cry. She didn't do anything. She just went, smiled real big, and we all just laughed. And I thought, oh my gosh, my kid, she's just like her mom. And not at all. And it just makes me laugh that sometimes we do get so consumed with ourselves, we want all the attention. But if that's the way we live our life, you may run the risk of missing out on seeing the blessings. And sometimes we focus on all the negative stuff and we miss the good things. And that's another thing. We so overemphasize the negative junk. And so I would call that stinking thinking. That's carnal thinking. It's carnal mindedness. That means, carnal means of this earth and of this flesh. When we think just from this perspective, we can often miss the blessings. Did you hear that? Perspective changes everything, doesn't it? You know, you never know what tomorrow will bring, but on this side of tomorrow, you may be really, really depressed and feel like, oh man, it's never going to change. But on that side of tomorrow, you may look back and go, ha-ha! Boy, if I only knew what I knew today. It's amazing just time and perspective, what it changes. And so we've got to remember God's perspective or we may miss the blessing. Here's one of the things that so highlights to me the profound manifestation of blessing in a person's life. How many of you have ever eaten at McDonald's? Raise your hand, you guilty person. Yep. Oh, yeah. I have eaten there many times. And the fact that we have a church right next to a McDonald's is the worst trick that I could have ever played on my health and waistline. So, because there's too many fattening, wonderful things over there, and I smell it all the time. And so, I've often eaten there. Now, you may not know this, but they're open on Sundays. And when I get here at, say, 5:30 or something in the morning, sometimes I find that I have to wait until they open at 6 o'clock just so I can have a sausage something. And then I sit there and I'm like, man, how come you guys just wait until 6 o'clock to open up? And as I'm eating all this stuff. And they know me. They know me. It's sad. And I'm thinking, it's like, man, I feel bad for the workers that have to show up just to grill my stuff at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning because there's only like 2 cars in the parking lot on Sunday morning at that time. It's hilarious. But you know, there's another fast food restaurant, Chick-fil-A. Oh, baby. How many of you have ever eaten at a Chick-fil-A or even know what a Chick-fil-A is? I love Chick-fil-A. Waffle fries, chicken nuggets, sweet tea. Oh, my goodness. Their honey mustard is to die for. Oh, I love this. So Chick-fil-A is just phenomenal. I'll drive out of my way just to eat at a Chick-fil-A. And that rhymed. And but what's the truth about Chick-fil-A? They're closed on Sunday. Traditionally, here's the stats. Traditionally, Sunday is the biggest grossing day for fast food restaurants. I didn't know this. Traditionally, Sunday is the biggest grossing day for fast food restaurants. Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. That seems like a bad business decision, doesn't it? But Chick-fil-A has done this to represent or honor their faith commitments. They said, as a believer, the owners and the people who manage and run Chick-fil-A, they've made those business decisions to reflect their value of faith and family and those things. So they honor the Sabbath day. One day a week, they honor the Lord and they just don't work on Sunday, the biggest grossing day for fast food restaurants. McDonald's is open. Do you know the distinguishing marks of blessing on people who live the life of Christianity and they do it with their whole heart? You know, it marks them. Chick-fil-A will earn that profit, a profit of 5 times more than McDonald's in 6 days, not 7. So they'll earn 5 times more profit in one day less, and that one day is the biggest day for fast food industries. And I look at that and I think, man, we should sell this stuff. You should just live for Jesus and you will find markings, blessings that will set you apart from every other person that doesn't serve and live their life for God. Why? That's the way God said he wants to bless you. He wants just not just your soul to prosper, but every aspect of your life to prosper and benefit. Now, I also look at this and I think in Scripture, do you remember the story of Jacob? The story of Jacob and his father-in-law Laban. How many of you remember the story of Jacob and his father-in-law Laban? I've talked about it a couple different times. If you want to read that, go to Genesis 30 and you could look at how Jacob prospered greatly even though his uncle cheated him at least 10 times and he had all kinds of problems. He worked for him for a couple decades and throughout that whole time there was nothing but cutthroat business activity going on. And during that entire time, God gave great distinction to Jacob because Jacob was blessed and favored of God. God had already said, Jacob, you're mine and I'm going to bless you. That blessing was without repentance. Everywhere Jacob went, he seemed to find favor. Even though he was a jerk at times, even though he himself was a usurper or a trickster. And yet when he was under the rule and the reign of his uncle Laban, he began to prosper greatly. So greatly did he prosper that his uncle Laban and all of the workers that were other than Jacob and his workers began to be jealous at the prosperity that Jacob had. Look at all of his sheep and his goats. They're growing so great. They're doing so great. What's wrong? Now he's stealing all of our produce. He's being so favored. And so then they'd switch things. And then it was like the blessing would just follow Jacob wherever he went. Until finally God said, you better get out of Dodge quick because you have no chance to stay here and be blessed to the level I want to bless you. You better get out of town. So then Jacob had to leave. I look at this and it is so powerful throughout Scripture, the blessing of God that rests on the people of God. This is important. I got to stop here for just a second. Think, evaluate your own life. Do you feel blessed? Do you feel that wherever you go, you have the sense of God's favor on your life? Do you feel like whatever you do, you feel like God is right there, kind of, if you make mistakes, he lessens the depth of that mistake. If you do something good, does it feel like you get better benefits than what you deserve? I mean, do you feel the blessing and favor of God on your life? I love that feeling. I feel it. Every day I wake up, I look in the mirror and I go, wow, God's blessed that guy? Why? I know that guy. He doesn't deserve half this. Well, not even half, 25%. Maybe he doesn't even deserve 2% of what he's got. And then I look at my pretty wife and I go, I know I don't deserve that wife. Man, you are better than I deserve, woman. And I feel sorry you married me and stuff like that. I mean, there is so much that I look around. I look at my kids and I go, how did I get such awesome kids? 4 amazing kids that are going to rule the world after me. And I just look at it. I think it's phenomenal. And then I look at the blessings in my home and just the experiences that God brings our life. You know, there are so many blessings that it's hard for me to number them all. I begin to forget them. I can remember a few of them, but there's so many, I just forget them all. So every now and then we have to remember them and go back and count them. And it's a blessing. I want you to think of how God's blessed his people throughout history. I want you to think of Israel. Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. And from that time to this time, there was a people, a peculiar people that you and I as believers are grafted into that culture of blessing and that hope. As a believer, you're grafted into Abraham's lineage. You're a part of that crew of faith. But now in our time, Israel, those are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those guys, all those patriarchs, Joseph, all of them, David, Jesus, every one of them. And you know, there's still Jewish people living today. Surprise. It's amazing. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. They can't hide. They're all over the place. They're in the news almost every day. It's amazing. Here are some statistics of God's blessing on their life. Just hear some of these. If there's about 18 million Jews worldwide, which really equates to a 0.2%, not even 0.5% of the population in the globe right now, but even not 0.5% of the population, the Jewish people make up 54% of the world's chess champions. Okay, you were not as impressed as I was thinking you were going to be. How many of you even play chess? This is a big accomplishment. My goodness. What about 3D chess? Never mind. That's a whole nother thing. So, all right. So not just that. Now, I just think it's horrible. So 27%, more than one quarter of all the Nobel physics laureates, these are really smart, smart people, are Jewish people. Holy cow. 31% of the medical laureates. These are like really smart medical people. I am not a smart medical person. I look at this and I think that's impressive. Within the United States, the Jewish people make up only 2% of our U.S. population, but 21% of all Ivy League students have Jewish heritage. Do you realize just how powerful this is? 26% of the Kennedy Center honorees are Jewish people. 37% of the Academy Award-winning directors. I like all this stuff. Those are Jewish people. 38% of those that are on recent Business Week lists of philanthropists. These are the biggest givers and moneymakers in our culture. They're Jewish people. Woo-hoo! I want to be Jewish. 51% of the Pulitzer Prize winners are Jewish people. This is amazing. I look at this and I think this is so powerful. Here's the last little chunk that I want us to focus on. Israel has more high-tech startups per capita than any other nation on earth. Any other nation on earth. So much so that it leads the world in civilian research and development spending per capita. That is amazing. It outranks, it's actually second behind the U.S. That's it. But it outranks so many other countries and companies listed on the NASDAQ. So Jewish people are making an impact, with 7 million people attracted every year as venture capitalists. That's more than France and Germany combined. That's too many statistics for you to actually gather. Basically, that's an overwhelming amount of evidence that says the Jewish people, God's people, are so blessed, it's hard to find an equivalent. And that is historical. From Jacob's time, when he was just having a distinguishing a difference made between him and his uncle, God's favor was upon Jacob. Fast forward to this time and in this life, in your life, you must really come into agreement with God's scripture. You have been handpicked by God to be blessed and favored. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care what your history says about you. I don't care what you might think when you first look in the mirror. You've got to change your thinking and see what God sees about you. You've got to look in the mirror and see that God is blessing you and has intended for you to be a blessing in this world. You have a calling. And it's a calling to be that bright light and be that blessing. I look at this and I think, well, then how come we're not really experiencing more of this? I mean, how could you come to Visible Church, listen to a few messages about blessing, and that first one, think about how we're supposed to be a blessing and bless others and all that stuff because of what we're going to inherit. And I look at that and, okay, I'm gonna be that blessing. And I listen to another message and I think I'm going to partner with the Holy Spirit and I'm going to be blessed because of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, like Zerubbabel said, and I'm going to partner with God's Spirit. And then I look at how I'm going to control my tongue and I'm going to say what I need to say and not do all those things and actually rule over my tongue and all that, and I'm going to see the blessing of God in my life. And then I get to this message and I sit here and I ask myself, how could we hear the words of the Lord over and over again and walk away and not be changed in the way we view ourselves? Every one of us should have a life-changing, altered perspective about ourselves. If you don't think of yourself as blessed, if you're not seeing that blessing in your life, then God wants to change your world today. He really does. And how does that happen? Not from just me preaching. It's got to happen somewhere inside of you. This is the one thing that will keep you from experiencing God's abundant blessing in your life? You. You're the only thing. Every good gift that God wants to give you, He's already made payment for it. He's already showed you His will. He wants to bless you. The only thing that is waiting is on you. And what that means is you've got to first choose to follow after Him with all of your heart. And then second, you've got to actually act upon that. You have to be willing and you have to be faithful in doing those things. Never does God say you have to be perfect in the sense of without flaw. He says that you've got to become mature or perfect, meaning not lacking anything. But in Christ, you lack nothing for life and godliness. Your faith is this thing that you grab hold of everything you need out of Scripture for every position in life you're going to find yourself or every circumstance. And in that faith, you find the ability to overcome. You can find that ability to be blessed no matter what's going on in your life. But you have to choose and you have to follow through with that. You have to act upon it. Why do I say this? Well, the reason I say this is because in Deuteronomy chapter 27, and this is how I'm going to end it up today. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses is getting all of the people of God ready to go into the promised land and possess it. Everything that God's said, this is what I want for your life. But in order to possess it, he had to put on a great demonstration, an illustration. And with your help today, I'm going to do the very same thing. So he had all of the people of Israel gather before him. And he said, guys, as we go into this land, I'm going to split you into two groups. I'm going to have half of the group stand on this mountain, and I'm going to have another half of the group stand on that mountain. And so if we were to read in that, these two groups, one standing on the mountain of blessing called Gerizim. Gerizim, that mountain of blessing. And then the others, he had them stand on the Mount Ebal, or cursing. And he stood on both of those. Now remember what blessing and cursing stands for. It doesn't mean witchcraft and voodoo stuff. So don't think that. How many of you thought that? I know some of you did. Ooh, cursing. Don't say tituba. No, don't do. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. Blessing is simply seeing and expecting God's full intentions. That's really what it is. You say what God's full intentions are about a thing. And a cursing is simply saying less than what God says about something. When you look at that through that lens, and then you split it into two mountains and two groups of people, you had one group of people that agreed with God's full intentions on their life. The group of people that were on that Mount Gerizim, those were a group of people that said, I agree with everything that God's planned for my life. Jeremiah 29:11 is so true. They were doing the happy dance. I know God's plans for my life. He wants to prosper me and he wants to do this and this. They were so blessed and they knew it. And then on this mountain, they put a group of people that they said less than what God would say about them. Think about that. If I were to ask you to put yourself on one of the mountains, would you put yourself on a mountain that says less of what God says about you? Would you put yourself in a group of people that looks in the mirror or looks at your life and you criticize it or you downplay it or you just kind of pessimistic and be like, Let me go back and have us reflect on this scripture real quick. And remember when I read at the very beginning, it says in Jeremiah 17, it says, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. In verse 6 of Jeremiah 17, he says, he's going to be like a bush in the wilderness and he will not see when something good comes. There are many people today that never feel like good things come their way. They would put themselves on that mountain. They always feel like they're second. They get passed over for the blessing or the promotion or the whatever. Those are the people that look at themselves and they put them in this camp. They're always second to someone else or something else. And that's not God's plan for your life. That's not what God says about you. When Moses split them up like that, this is what God said about them. If you turn to, this is so good. Turn to Deuteronomy 30. And this is the, I just looked at everybody with my, I'm not good at my reading glasses yet. And so every now and then I'm looking down and then I look up and everybody is just ginormous. And it's weird on my head. And so anyway, Deuteronomy 30. I love listening to the kids back there. I love that. I think I'm prepping myself to become a grandpa in another 30 years. Did you hear that? 30 years from now? And because I just think, man, I just love the sound of little kids, and I can't wait to torture them and feed them lots of candy and send them home. I told someone else this last week, I said, my favorite or my life goal as a grandparent is going to be that every one of my grandchildren will use this phrase all the time at their house with their parents. But Pawpaw says, but Grandpa said, but Grandpa does. If they can just say that over and over again, I'm going to go to bed with a smile on my face. I'll be like, that's right. So in Deuteronomy 30, back to the message. I know I was on a sidetrack there. So in Deuteronomy 30, this is what he says. He says in verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So choose life in order that you may live and that your children would live. By loving the Lord your God and by obeying his voice and by holding fast to him. Oh, this is so good. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord has sworn to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I love that. And if you looked in chapters 27 and 28 before that, if you read through all of chapter 28, you're going to read that this is what it's going to be described like. You're going to be blessed in everything that you do. Blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed in your body, blessed in everything that you produce, blessed in your monies and your finances and all that kind of stuff. Blessed in your health. There's so blessed with your enemies even. Blessed on every front, so much so that God's going to say, you are going to feel like you are the head of everything, not the tail of everything. That's why in some circles, especially in the old school prosperity circle, they used to say, I'm the head, not the tail. That was their favorite thing to say. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm going to be blessed. Well, you know, there's truth to that. There really is truth to that. That doesn't mean God's going to give you a Cadillac Escalade every time baby wants one. You know what I mean? But it does mean you will have a proper way of looking at yourself. That you are favored of God. You're not the butt of every joke, so to speak. And that's a good thing to think about yourself. But you have to choose to do what those people did. They lived for God. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray over you. But I'm going to challenge you to do something in response to this. You need to do this for yourself, not for anybody else. This is literally just for you. I need to do it for me. You need to do it for you. I want you to just enter a time of just reflection and think about some stuff real quick. I want you to think about yourself and your life and your family, your kids and all of that. And I want you to ask yourself, what do you see in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, at the end of your life, before you draw your last breath, will you look back and say without any hesitancy whatsoever, I have been blessed, 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 so blessed. I have no regrets. I have no sense of bitter gall over what I've experienced in my life because I have without any doubt experienced the hand of God on my life and blessing at every phase and at every turn. If that's what you want to have happen, then you want to put yourself on that mountain of blessing and not on that mountain of cursing. The mountain of blessing is not pain-free or trouble-free. It's just filled with a group of people that know they have the favor of God with them every day of their life. And so now what I'm going to do is right here in front of the young people, I'm going to say that's the mountain of blessing. And if that's something that you really do want, I want you to just step out of your chair and move anywhere near that direction. And I want to pray over you over there. Now that might sound corny to you. And yeah, look at that. Bill's already like, well, I'm there. I'm going to be the first person. I'm going to be at the peak of the mountain of blessing, right there next to Mikey. Because this is the reality. This is so the reality. If it feels corny, good. I don't want you to ever forget this. I'm telling you, the Lutherans aren't doing something like this next door. This would like freak them out. They'd be like, that's a little too extreme. Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. No, I am extreme. Why? I want your life to feel the blessing of God every single day you wake up. And I believe there are Christians everywhere in this world that wake up in a subpar life. They're not experiencing the joy that they should be experiencing. And it's because they haven't grasped this one simple truth. You've got to believe it from the inside out, and you have to live every single day as if you are God's favorite person and his favor is just literally like a blanket on your life. When Jesus spoke in the synagogues, at the end of his time, he would raise his hands towards everyone that was gathered in that synagogue, and he would say a blessing over them. Can you imagine if you were there in the presence of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and he would lift his hands towards you in that crowd, and he would say in closing, I bless you. And he says, every intention I have in my heart, I speak over your life, and nothing the enemy of your souls could ever do could steal it. I speak that intention over your life today, church. Close your eyes and just lift your hands towards heaven. And Heavenly Father, I bless every single person here today in Jesus' name. I bless them with the fullness of your Holy Spirit in their life, that they would be a living torch, a light in this world. That the same distinguishing marks on your people throughout all time would rest on them, that they would be blessed in the city and in the country. They'd be blessed in business and they'd be blessed in their home. You'd bless their womb. They would have a blessed family. You would bless their children, and that every father in this group right now would have that joyful experience that their sons and their daughters would rise up and call them blessed today. Lord, that every mother would see their sons and daughters rise up and call them blessed today. Father God, I pray that you leave your thumbprint and the mark of your life in them everywhere they go, that people want to be close to them because of the joy that surpasses even understanding. Lord, let every face be lit up with the love of Jesus Christ and shine brightly. Lord, I thank you right now for peace and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in every life here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Your gospel.